Our God is great. I'm so thankful that we have had the opportunity to worship Him this morning. We are so thankful that you are able to do that with us. If you are visiting with us, thank you again for making Azalea City your choice of worship this morning. It is great to see you. Great to have all of our members here as well. Today, we're going to start a series of lessons that I'm excited about, talking about who Jesus Christ is. You know, as I think about Christ and I think about how much we love Him, how much we adore Him, how much we strive to live like Him, I feel like sometimes I've been guilty of just getting wrapped up in that Jesus is the Savior. And I know that you think, well, that's a lot to get wrapped up in. But Jesus is so much more than even just our Savior. Jesus said to us many times who He is. And He said that through the New Testament. He said it through the Gospels. And so we're gonna spend a couple weeks now talking about who Jesus Christ is. Because when we have a responsibility to go into all the world, right? To make disciples of all nations, to baptize them, to teach them, to help them understand exactly who Jesus Christ is. But in order to help others know who Jesus Christ is, we have to truly know who He is. And the good news is, even if you know who Jesus is, we can all know Him better. And so I'm excited today to talk about Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. I want to ask a question. As we get into this, who are you? You know who you are, right? You know exactly what you do. If somebody says, hey, I'm Terry, who are you? Or however that goes, and they introduce and you say, what do you do? Right? That's the next question that follows up. And usually they say, well, I would say I'm a minister and I serve here at Azalea City Church of Christ. You might say you're a such and such worker or you work at such and such place. But in all reality, we need people to know about us that we belong to Jesus. We want people to know that we belong to God, that we belong to the church, that we belong to the greatest institution in existence today. So as we go through this lesson today, I want you to think about who you are. I want to think about who I am, but we also want to think about who Jesus is. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, that was read to us just a moment ago, we simply have the words that God said to Moses. There in Exodus 3:14, He said to Moses, I am who I am. Now when you think about that, Him being the I am, obviously that is, He's Yahweh. That means He is the one true living God. There are a lot of gods. The Egyptians had a lot of gods, right? Pharaoh had a lot of gods. He probably thought of himself as a god even. But along the way, as he's asking the question, who is this Lord? Moses is asking the question, who am I to go to Pharaoh, right? Who am I to go to Pharaoh who's going to ask that question, who is this Lord? God said, all you've got to tell him is, I am, has sent me to you. You see, when I think about God being I am, it automatically makes me think of Jesus. Because in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, Paul wrote this about Jesus Christ. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Hear that now. Who is Jesus? He's equal with God. So if God said to Moses, you tell them the I am sent you, Jesus Christ can also say to us, as we go into all the world, you tell them the I am sent you. Listen, He did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Here's what God did. He took Jesus, who humbled Himself, the I Am, humbled Himself, right? He came to this earth, and even though He could have set up a kingdom, and He could have set up a throne room, and He could have set up the greatest kingdom the world has ever known, and people could have come and bowed down to Him, and it'd be okay because He was the I Am in the flesh, Paul said He made Himself of no reputation. He came in the likeness of man. He humbled Himself. He became as a servant. He humbled Himself to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Why did He say it that way? Because the death of the cross was a criminal's death. Jesus, the I Am, in the flesh, died the lowliest of deaths. And because He died that lowliest of deaths, here's what God did. He took Him and He highly exalted Him. He gave Him the name which is above all names, that every tongue will confess and every knee will bow. Now listen, there's going to come a time when it's going to be too late for that tongue, right? It's going to be too late for that knee. But let's be all sincere about it. The hardest of atheists today, I don't know who that person is, the atheist of atheists, right? The most atheist person, I'm saying things, I don't even know if they exist, right? Whoever that is, one day is going to bow to Jesus Christ and recognize Him as the I Am. The most vile person who only loves evil, who only loves torture, who only loves misery, one day will bow and confess that You are the I Am. Satan himself will bow the knee and confess He truly is the I Am. Now listen, it's going to be too late at that moment. But everybody one day will recognize exactly who Jesus Christ is. We want to do it right now. We don't want to wait too late. We want to understand, who are You, Jesus? Turn with me now to John chapter 14. Here's where our text will come from today. We're going to be all over the place. We've got a lot of Scripture today, and so I'm going to talk fast. And along the way, if you miss some, I'll be glad. You can text me later. I'll get them to you. But it's real important to understand God revealed who Jesus Christ is through the power of the Word. And so in John chapter 14, it's a very beautiful scene. It's a sad scene in some ways because Jesus is getting ready to leave His disciples, right? And they've gotten this word and they know that the time is coming. They didn't really understand everything, but the time was coming when they, the disciples, were going to be separate from Jesus Christ. And so guess what their hearts are starting to be? Their hearts are starting to hurt. Their hearts are starting to be troubled. They're starting to be anxious. They're starting to be sad. So Jesus says these words, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions." I'm so thankful for that. "If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you..." Now remember, it is impossible for God to lie. "If I go and prepare a place for you, guess what? I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas beat him up a lot. But he's just an inquisitive guy who speaks up. He said, "Lord, we do not know where You're going." Probably all of them were thinking it, right? "We do not know where You're going, and how can we know the way?" And I'm so glad he asked the question, because Jesus gives the answer. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me." Now let me give you some background about this text. Right here at this scene, it's on the eve of Jesus' crucifixion. He sits down with His disciples to have the Passover meal. During this evening, Judas arises to betray Him. Jesus told the disciples on this occasion that He would be betrayed and put to death. But right here, as I mentioned just a moment ago, He is comforting His disciples by giving them the knowledge that they would need to make it through this time. Here's how He comforts them. Number one, He speaks concerning the place where He's going. Today, the greatest comfort we have when we lose a loved one is to know that we can see him again in heaven. To me, that is the greatest comfort we can have. When someone dies and dies outside of Christ, you usually see more wailing and more crying and more hurting, don't you? Because they're not sure. There's something about them that's just not sure. I've had to counsel people that have gone through complicated grief and they say, I just don't know. I just don't know if my loved one went to heaven. And that's hard. That's really hard. That's why we want to know Jesus now. That's why we want to understand who He is now. Because we want to have the comfort to know, just like Jesus said, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be with the Father. Number two, He tells them that this place is not just for Him. It's for you also. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. By the way, that's a personal pronoun. Fill in your name there. I go to prepare a place for Terry. Your name, right? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And that leads us to that third place. He's coming back to take them home. Thomas asked the question then that we should all be asking today. How do we get there? I've heard about this place. This place is great. Heaven is amazing. I know you went to prepare a place for me and you're going to come back and get me. But the question is, in the meantime, how do I get myself ready to go there? Jesus' answer to Thomas is one of the most known and beloved quoted scriptures to all those who are faithful. In this scripture, Jesus identifies to all the world exactly who He is. He said, just like God said to Moses, I am. I am the way, the truth, the life. Through Scripture, we learn so much about Jesus throughout all of the Bible. We learn that He is the Son of God. We learn that He is God in the flesh. We learn that He is the Alpha and the Omega. We learn that He is the Prince of Peace. We learn that He is the King of Kings. In these three words, way, truth, life. It sums up that Jesus is all those things and more. Let's talk about it today. You want to know who Jesus is? If you're going to pick I am statements to preach about, I believe this is the one you have to start with. You want to know exactly who Jesus is? He tells us. He said, number one, I am the way. Turn to Deuteronomy 30, please. I read this passage a few weeks ago. I like to read it as much as I can because it is very simple but very powerful to understand. Deuteronomy 30, beginning in verse 15. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commandments, His statutes, and His judgments, that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But, verse 17, if your heart turns away so that you do not hear, and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey His voice, and that you may cling to Him. For He is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Now Moses is directing Israel. He's directing those Israelites to go into the promised land, right? And there he says, choose life. Now, a lot of them made bad decisions and they chose death and they perished in the wilderness. But he's telling them, choose life so that you can prosper, your descendants can prosper, and you go across the Jordan to the promised land. Now, that's Old Testament, I get it, but here's the parallel today. The same thought is there. The promised land, we sing about it, right? Canaan's land, I'm on my way. The promised land is that place that Jesus went to prepare for us. We're standing at a crossroad right now. And He is saying, He being Jesus Christ, listen to me, you have a couple choices. He said, you can follow the way of the world or you can follow my way. He said, I am the way. You want to go to the... Listen to me, folks. If you don't hear anything else, hear this. You want to go to the promised land? You got to follow Jesus Christ. It cannot get any plainer than that. There is no other name under heaven which we can obtain salvation. There is no other way than His way. There are multiple masters you could choose today. Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or God and money, or God and whatever. You cannot serve more than one God. So if God, if Jesus is the I Am, is not number one in your life, then He's not anywhere at all. Remember, lukewarmness doesn't do Him any good. He vomits that out of His mouth. Jesus also said there are two gates. Matthew 7:13-14. There's a wide gate that leads to death. That wide gate leads to destruction. But then there's the narrow one that leads to a life eternal. Which gate will we choose? Again, it's Christ's way. But guess what? I'd love to tell you today, if you choose to follow the way, His way, that your life will just be perfect. That it will just be easy. But I can't make that confession to you. I can't make that promise to you. In fact, if you choose to follow Christ's way, there may be times it's going to be challenging because Satan's going to be mad. He's the other way. He's the wide way. He's the one that many people are going to go through. The gate's going to flow open and people are just going to flood through, right? And they are. There's a lot of people today going to choose death, going to choose misery. Now, they don't realize that's what they're choosing, but that's what they're choosing. The Israelites complained in the wilderness. They didn't realize they were choosing death, but they died in the wilderness. Most of them did. Jude 3. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend. Contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. In other words, we got to fight, folks. We got to fight to defend the way. Paul said it this way, Ephesians 6:12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Once again, that battle's not easy always. I've said this 1,000 times lately, it feels like, but it's very important to understand. If the battle was against flesh and blood, we could go and take care of that. If there was another group of people or group of whoever out there, some bad guys out there, and they were flesh and blood, I could get enough buddies together, and if all I had to do was ward them off, I could do it. We could do it. But that's not what the battle is. The battle is against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this age, spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's why we must choose the way, because He is the I Am. Christ's way may be a struggle, but His way is worth fighting for. Christ's way is the way for us, for Christians. Acts 16:17. These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. Acts 18:26. So he, that's Apollos, began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. Acts 24:14. Paul, in his defense before Felix here, says this: "But this I confess to you, that according to the way, which they call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets." Jesus Christ, when He says, "I am the way," of course He means He is the way also to heaven. Again, Matthew 7:14, I referenced it earlier, I'm going to read it now, "Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it." Those of us that walk Christ's way, we will receive heaven. Romans 2 verse 7. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. Who is Jesus Christ? Number one, He is the way. But number two, He is the truth. Jesus is the Word of God. John 1 verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Then we skip on down to verse 14. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus Christ is the way. Jesus Christ is the truth, meaning Jesus Christ is the Word, but the Word of God is truth. John 17:17. In Christ's prayer, beautiful prayer to the Father, He says these words: "Sanctify them by Your truth. Your Word is truth." 1 Thessalonians 2:13. "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." You know what the truth does? The truth makes us free. The truth makes us free from sin. John 8:32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Galatians 5 verse 1, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ," or the Word of God, or the truth, "has made us free." You know what the truth also does? You know why Jesus says, "I am the truth"? The truth brings us to heaven. Those who live by the truth have their names in the book of life. Philippians 4:3, "And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life." But those who reject the truth will not be found in the book of life. Before I go to that verse, let me take you back to Deuteronomy. He said, make a choice. Today before you there's two choices, life and death. Choose life, he said. You know what he spoke to him? He spoke the truth. The rich young ruler, Mark's account. He comes to Jesus Christ excited. He's excited because he feels really good about himself, I would imagine. He says, good teacher, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? Jesus, of course, says, why do you call me good? There's only one that's good, that's the Father. He said, but you know what to do, keep the commandments. He said, which ones? He said, don't commit adultery, etc. He said, all these I've done since my youth. The reason I always choose Mark's account when I'm talking about that is because of this next phrase. Jesus loved him. He looked at him and he loved him. You know why that's important? You know why Mark picked that up? The Holy Spirit used that? Because it's important to love people enough to tell them the truth. He loved him enough to tell him the truth. He said, there is one thing you lack. Sell your possessions. Give it to the poor. This made the young man sad, didn't it? He walked away sorrowful. Why? Because he was full of great possessions. You know what he did? He rejected the truth. Revelation 20:15. If we reject the truth, anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the I am. Finally, Jesus is the life. Without Jesus Christ. You want to know who He is? Here He is, right here. He simply said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Without Jesus Christ, we do not exist. That's physically and spiritually. In John 1 and following, we read a moment ago, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through Him. In the very beginning, the book of beginnings, Genesis chapter 1, the Godhead there, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit says, let us. Jesus Christ was right there all along. Let us make man in our image. He didn't just come into existence around 0 AD or 1 AD. He didn't just come into existence then. He wasn't just someone that God thought, hey, I'm going to poof, put a baby in Mary and call that my son. And he's going to be born in a stable. And they're going to make cute little manger scenes. And they're going to talk about him in once a year and et cetera, et cetera. That's not who Jesus is. Folks, Jesus is the I Am. He is far greater. As great as what we read about in the New Testament. As great as we preach about, as great as we take communion and talk about every Lord's Day, He is greater than all that. We wouldn't exist physically because all things were made through Him. And we wouldn't exist spiritually. He gives salvation from the second death. That's why He said He is life. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. In John 10:10, The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I, the I Am, the way, the truth, the life, Yahweh in the flesh, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. As Jesus reminds us all today of exactly who He is, the way, the truth, the life. There's a statement that comes after this great proclamation that's critical to us now. He said, no man comes to the Father except by Me. In Deuteronomy, Moses said to those people, choose life. Many of them chose death. In Exodus 3, before they even got to that point, God said to a very confused, very nervous, very anxious Moses, who do I say sent me? He said, you tell them the I Am has sent me to you. Today, we stand before the I Am. This service is not about me. It's not about you. It's not about singing, how good we sounded. It's not about being entertained. It's not about us getting all tingly and all that inside. It's about the I Am. And as we stand before the I Am right now, He wants us to make a choice. We can choose life or we can choose death. We can choose the way, the truth, the life, and we can put Him on the throne of our lives or we can put ourselves there. You see, when it comes down to it, it's all about knowing who Jesus really is. Once we know who He really is, we obey who He is and what He says. He's invited us to come before Him, all who are weary and heavy laden, and lay it down at His feet. Last Sunday, I know I said it Wednesday night, but last Sunday, after a lot of folks had gone on their way, we had two young men, twin young men, Alex and Aiden Gaston, go behind this wall. We let that screen up, and they were immersed into Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins. You know what they said? They said to their parents, they said to their friends, they said to whoever else can know it, I choose the I Am. Today, who do you choose? The choice is yours. Make it right now as together we stand and sing.